another sweet victory for our men. And the English narrator was effusively praising him as the all-time boxer of history. Well, that's very effusive indeed. But alam nyo ba, leading to the fight, there were worries and doubts among some of the Pacquiao followers and fans. And this was documented last night on the 24/7 documentary of HBO. And that was because of the discord that was prevailing among the members of Team Pacquiao. Sila-sila ay nag-aaway-aaway, nagkakagulo at iniisip ng iba na baka makagambala ito sa isip ni Manny Pacquiao. Mabuti naman at hindi. Pero isang bagay na ipinapakita nito is the fact that when someone is popular, especially popular with some money that goes with it, people jockey for position in order to be near that person. And of course, being just a human being, that person cannot really put these people under his control. And so nearness to him many times means competition, outdoing one another, and without realizing it, they may be doing damage to the man they want to be close to. Well, fortunately, there is nothing of that sort when it comes to nearness to God. And we will be closing our brief series on the psalm that we have been meditating upon on that subject of being near to God. We are using the psalm that was immortalized by Asaph, and its prophet, as I said, lies in its brutal honesty. Napakatapat ni Asaph sa awit na ito, at ito ang dahilan kung bakit ito ay naging isa sa mga awit na popular, isa sa mga awit na talagang kapaki-pakinabang sa ating mga panahon ng pag-aanilangan, panahon ng pagdududa, sapagkat ito ang nangyari kay Asaph. He went through a period of doubt, a period of struggle, and that was because of the prosperity of the wicked. He doubted God, and he even went through a sense of uselessness and helplessness as far as being godly was concerned. And yet, in the end, he found the profound answer to the mystery. And as we said, the apparent prosperity of the wicked should not blur from view their real misery. Yung tila pananagana ng mga masama ay hindi dapat magpalabo sa atin sa talagang kawawa nilang kalagayan, yung miserable nilang kalagayan. At ito'y naisip ni Asaph nung kanyang pagbulayan, yung katapusan. Anong magiging katapusan nila? At sa kanyang pagbubulay, ang nakita niyang kanilang prosperidad, yung kanilang pananagana, ay itinulad lamang niya sa isang panaginip, sa isang bangungot, sa isang bagay na imahin lamang, anino lamang, ngunit pagdating ng katapusan, ay lalabas at lilitaw ang talagang miserableng kalagayan ng mga masama. In other words, there was nothing to be envied about as far as the wicked was concerned. And yet, what then is the advantage of being a righteous man? And this was what he meditated next in our brief series, is the fact that the real portion, as Asaph uses the word, the real portion of the righteous is God no less. And any definition of life that defines it for us with anything less than God misses the point. It misses the real portion of the righteous. Now we come to the conclusion of our meditation on this psalm. I invite you now to turn your Bibles to Psalm 73. Our text is verses 27 and 28. But let's begin reading from verse 21. Psalm 73:21-28. Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 27. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. So here, as I've said, God is no less, or God no less, is the portion of the saint. And I made an appeal last Sunday not to fall short of that. Ingatan natin na huwag tayong pumalya. Huwag tayong mag-isip ng anumang bagay na siya nating ituturing na ating buhay ng mas that will fall short of God. And that can happen, as I compared it to a staircase. You can come so close and yet still fall short of God as your portion. And we need to continually and periodically examine ourselves whether we are retaining our God to be the portion of our lives. Now, verse 27 and verse 28 make a final contrast intended to highlight how different the righteous and the wicked are. May panghuling pagsasalungat dito ng masama at ng matuwid. At sa pamagitan ng pagsasalungat na ito, pinapakita ni Asaph na talagang walang anumang magkaantas na kalagayan ang matuwid at ang masama. They are not on the same level. And the contrast is denoted by the words, as far as the wicked are concerned, Asaph says, they are far from God. Whereas in the case of the righteous, they are near to God. So ito yung dalawang pagsasalungat ni Asaph. Ang mga masama ay malayo sa Diyos. Ang mga matuwid ay malapit sa Diyos. Now, this is profound thought and yet one that can be easily mistaken and distorted, and I want us to be quite clear as to what we mean by this. And I want to put this in this message form. The message is, every genuine believer has the position and the privilege of nearness to God. Bawat tunay na mananampalataya ay may kalagayan at pribilehiyo ng pagkamalapit sa Diyos. Now, I deliberately chose these two words, position and privilege, in order to describe what nearness to God that we have. It points to something that all believers already have in contrast with unbelievers. In other words, there is that nearness to God which is absolute, objective, true of all believers. But then on the other hand, it also points to what more we should have as believers, a nearness to God that is ongoing and should be growing. And so I have my 2 points cut out for me. First, as our position, we must practice nearness to God. Bilang ating kalagayan, dapat nating gamitin ang ating pagkamalapit sa Diyos. As our position, we must practice nearness to God. And secondly, as our privilege, we must pursue nearness to God. Bilang ating pribilehyo o pabor, ay dapat nating lalong itaguyod ang pagkamalapit sa Diyos. So first of all then, as our position, that is, this is true of all believers, we must practice nearness to God. Asaph describes the nearness of the righteous to God as something which is a stark contrast with those who are far from God. Sinasalungat niya doon sa mga malayo sa Diyos. Kaya ang ibig sabihin po niyan ay, this is something true of all believers. This is true and equal of all believers. As far as this nearness to God is concerned, we are talking of a relationship. We are talking of an objective reality. At pag sinabi natin objective reality, it is something that does not depend on how we feel. It does not depend on our mood or our experience. It is just there. That's objective. And there is that nearness to God, which is true of every genuine believer. He is near to God in a way that unbelievers are not. Isipin nyo yan, na ikaw kung tunay kang mananampalataya, ikaw ay malapit sa Diyos. Kagaya sa sinasabi natin, we have relatives and it's not a matter of subjective feeling. If he is your relative, well, he's just your relative. It is a relationship. And those who are not your relatives do not have the kind of relationship your relative has to you. Well, this is what we have towards God. We are near to God as a relationship that unbelievers don't have. And that means believers have always a special relationship with God that unbelievers, until they come to God in faith, by faith in Christ, will never have. Now, the Old Testament speaks of it as being near to God. Itong special na relasyon na ito ay pagiging malapit sa Diyos, or sometimes being in the presence of God. Now, it is easy to take this primarily as a feeling. And that will be wrong. You know, sometimes we speak of being close to a person, and when we say close to a person, we mean in a subjective fashion. We feel our closeness to the person. And we will be wrong if we think of our closeness to God primarily as the way we feel about Him. Or perhaps the way God feels about us, that will be wrong. Mali ang unahin natin ay yung damdamin natin sa Diyos. May mga pagkakataong wala doon yung damdamin. That will be true as we come to the second point. There will be that subjective nearness and closeness to God, but that's not primary. The primary thing is that you and I as believers have a closeness to God, a nearness to God that is not true of unbelievers. Yan ang unahin natin. In fact, the psalm that we are meditating already demonstrates this. Asaph was not in the best state of feeling. Di ba? Nabasa natin yung kanyang mga agam-agam, yung kanyang alinlangan. Wala siya sa pinakamahusay na kalagayan ng kanyang damdamin. In fact, he just confessed, as we read, that he felt like a beast. Ay, talagang matindi yung kanyang damdamin. Naramdaman niya yung kanyang kababaan, naramdaman niya yung kanyang karumihan sa harap ng Diyos, kung bakit niya pinagdudahan ng Diyos. And so he was not in the best state of feeling, but even then, even as he was struggling with his feeling, he never lost that nearness to God. That nearness to God was still true, even in the worst state of his feeling. And that is true of you. If you are a true believer, even at your worst state, you do not lose this special relationship with God. It is true of you as a believer in Christ. You are near to God. Another Asaphic psalm, or another psalm attributed to Asaph, Psalm 75:1 puts it this way: "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near." So what was it that declared the nearness of God? Not the feeling, but the fact that the works of God are there. Ang mga gawa ng Diyos ay naroon. At pagdating sa mga gawa ng Diyos, gusto kong ipaalala sa atin na of all the works of God, it is the work of God in Christ that has accomplished this nearness to us in the most stark contrast with unbelievers. None more clearly is God near to us than in Christ. Kaya nga huwag natin hanapin sa damdamin natin. Huwag natin hanapin sa karanasan natin. Huwag natin hanapin dun sa mga pagkakataon o circumstances. Our nearness to God is because of what God has done in Christ. John 1:11 and 12 puts it this way, a popular verse to many. "He came to His own and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." So what is this special relationship to God? This special relationship to God is now defined in the New Testament in terms of adoption. Tayo inampun, tayo ay kinukup ng Diyos. Hindi ito pangdamdamin, kundi parang nagpakita siya ng adoption paper at sinabi niya sa iyo, "Dahil sa ginawa ng aking anak na si Jesucristo, ikaw ngayon ay anak ko kabilang sa aking pamilya." And isn't that a great blessing? To be called a child of God. And as a child of God, you don't lose it because there are times when your feelings do not go with the relationship. And pag sinabi natin to, isang bagay na ipapaalala ko, hindi lahat ay may ganitong kalagayan. Hindi ang lahat ay anak ng Diyos. You often hear the statement, "We are all God's children." Well, there is a sense that it may be true when you mean God as our common creator, but not as your Father in Christ. God is only the Father of those who believe in Christ. And if you are not a believer in Christ, you may be in church, you may be doing things that Christians do, you may be close to people who are children of God, but until you yourself come to Christ, you are not a child of God. And no matter what you call yourself, no matter what category you put yourself in terms of religion until you come to Christ, you are not God's child. That's the reality. It may sound harsh, but that is the reality that you must understand. Even as you sit where you are, even as you listen to this message, even as you hold a Bible in your hand, until you come to Christ, you're no child of God. And the only way for you to become a child of God in the saving sense is to be in Christ. And so I invite you again, why keep procrastinating on an issue which carries such a tremendous blessing? That right now, if you come to Christ, you would stand from your seat and be able to pronounce, "I am a child of God." Yet many prefer to have services like this in and out, week in and week out, and they go back to their work, they go back to their schools, they go back to their households, still outside the pale of God's family. And how can you keep doing that when the offer is so clear, so open, and so universal? And so yet once more, as God's voice, I invite you to come to Christ. Do not procrastinate any longer, because for those who are far from God, Asaph uses here a word that should make us tremble. They shall perish. And that's the word. And that too will apply to you if you die in your sin, not a child of God. No nearness to God. You will perish. So we see how people can really be divided with that demarcation line as to whether you are those who are near to God or those who are far from God. Pwede nating hatiin ang buong sangkatauhan ng isang linya. At ang linya na yan ay magsasabing sa kabila ay ang mga malapit sa Diyos at ang sa kabila ay ang mga malayo sa Diyos. So those, you only have these two kinds of people in the world. Those who are near and those who are far from God. So where do you belong? If you are a child of God because of Christ, then you are near to God. But now the question of application is, as one who is near to God in relationship, are you making use of it? Are you acting like one? Ikaw ba'y kumikilos bilang isang malapit sa Diyos? Remember again that we are talking here of something that every believer already has. It's not something that you have yet to build or to something that you have to have. You have it if you are a child of God. And even if you, as like Asaph, sometimes complains that you feel like a beast, Asaph did not lose it. And you have not lost it. And what a wonderful thought when you think about it. That in our weakest moments, sometimes to the point of feeling so estranged from God, but God in Christ is near us, and you in Christ is near God. And if that is so, act like a child of God. And how does one act like a child of God? Let me tell you the most fundamental thing from the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." And you may have heard that this word "Abba" is the way a child would call his father in an affectionate way. It may be equivalent to our dad or papa, but the point is that a true child of God can draw near to God and call him with affection, because he is a child of God. And the question that should come to you is, are you doing that? Ginagawa mo ba? Well, sometimes, just like earthly children, we have our problems. The most fundamental of these problems is disobedience. There are times when we disobey our own father. But you do not tell your child that he is no longer your child because he disobeys. But you expect a disobedient child to confess, to repent, and then enjoy the relationship. But the relationship is not lost. The relationship may not be enjoyed, but it is not lost by a disobedient child. And so if you are in disobedience, I'm calling upon you to repent and to renew your sense of relationship with God. Are you failing to act and practice your position as a child of God? Why so? What is the problem? Bear in mind that you do not need to enter into a new relationship with God. You only have to act it, to apply it. And the starting point of nearness to God is this unchanging relationship we have to Him in Christ. And the starting practice of a child of God is speak to God as His Father. Speak to God as your Father. And you as His child. You're not a stranger. Sadly, the present generation has molded our conversation with God into the shape of a business transaction. Para tayong nakikipag-trade-off sa Diyos. But it is not a business transaction where you try to bargain for the best deal. You see, you're already near to God. And what you just need is to renew your sense of those fundamental truths. When John Newton, the author, the hymn writer of Amazing Grace and many more hymns, was already old, somebody told him whether he still had a sense of being near to God. His answer was, "My memory is nearly gone. But I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." And those are the only things you need to renew your sense of relationship with God. Yun ang mga panariwain mo na ikaw ay makasalanan, ngunit si Kristo pa rin ay dakilang tagapagligtas. Kaya't gamitin mo ang pagkamalapit mo sa Diyos. As our position, we must practice nearness to God. But now secondly, as our privilege, we must pursue nearness to God. Now while there is that nearness true of all believers, and that in that sense, all of us as believers have the same relationship with God, but there is another sense. And Asaph puts this in the language of action. For he says, "It is good for me to draw near to God." So there is that sense in which there are those who are near and there are those who are far from God. But among those who are near to God, among all believers, there are those who draw near to God as a privilege. While there is that nearness we already possess, there is more of nearness that we must pursue. And that is something we need to understand. But lahat tayo'y malapit sa Diyos bilang mananampalataya. Pero sa mga mananampalatayang malapit sa Diyos, mayroong mga lumalapit sa Diyos. Lalong nagpapakalapit sa Diyos. At ang pinapaalala nito sa atin ay, you and I as believers have a potential of relationship with God that either may fluctuate or grow. So there is that relationship we all have, and that's the same, unchanging as children of God. But as a privilege, there are those who neglect this relationship and their nearness to God fluctuates. And there are those who pursue it, and the more they experience drawing near to God, there is a dynamic component in the presence of God. That's why the Bible speaks of the presence of God as something that can be withdrawn. Now, I already said the relationship is not lost for a true child of God. Hindi nawawala yung relasyon sa isang tunay na mananampalataya. Ngunit may salita ang Biblia na ginagamit yung salitang lumalayo ang Diyos sa atin. O iniiwan tayo ng Diyos in the sense of that nearness. It is possible for a true believer while having that relationship yet not experiencing drawing near to God. Now let me warn you of a popular term, popular both in theology as well as in ordinary Christian language, but it is misleading. The term is omnipresence. The omnipresence of God is used simply to make God's presence to mean God is everywhere. In the process, they reduce God's presence as simply being there. But you see, the biblical presentation is much more dynamic than that. When the Bible speaks of God's presence, God can threaten to withdraw it. Pag ang Biblia ginamit yung presensya ng Diyos, maaari siyang magbanta na agawin o kunin, bawiin ang kanyang presensya. At kapag sinabing binabawi yung kanyang presensya, it does not mean that God will no longer be there, you know, like an empty seat when you're absent from church. It means that when God withdraws His presence, God is no longer near. And that can happen to a true child of God. Because God's nearness is something for us to enjoy and experience the potential of that joy. And yet, that nearness can fluctuate. And you have several times in the Old Testament, particularly in the Psalms, that prayer, "Be not far from me, O Lord." And that's real experience. Totoong karanasan ito, yung maranasan mo na ang Diyos ay lumayo, hindi ibig sabihin na wala na ang Diyos, wala na yung kanyang presensya, ngunit sa lengguwahe ng Biblia, ang ibig sabihin niyan ay binabawi ng Diyos yung presensya niya ng kagalakan, yung presensya niya ng kapangyarihan, ay maaari niyang bawiin sa atin. And at those moments, we cry, "Be not far from me, O Lord." Just as there are in the Scriptures the expression of God's nearness, as fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11, "In your presence is fullness of joy." I said kanina that Pacquiao was the cover story of Time magazine. Well, he is of this week's edition, but only of the Asian edition. The American edition had the cover story, hindi si Pacquiao, kundi Hillary Clinton. And you know, Hillary Clinton was just a visitor in our country. And what makes her so significant is the fact that she occupies the premier post of the U.S. cabinet. Sa kanya yung pinakamataas na cabinet post as Secretary of State. Not only that, she is known to be close personally to the U.S. President Barack Obama. And you see, nearness to power is power itself. Being close to power is in itself power. And it is possible for you to be lacking the power because the nearness has been withdrawn. Pwede mangyari sa mananampalataya na bawiin ang presensya, hindi na malapit ang Diyos. At ito yung pakaingatan natin na huwag papangyarihin. Every believer has a certain state of nearness to God, either fluctuating or growing. And the challenge for us is to ask honestly, which is yours? How are you near to God? Is it fluctuating or is it growing? If it is a state that you do not know, perhaps not even care about, you can almost be sure that it is fluctuating. There can be between the saint and his God an estrangement. And never it is because of God's inadequacy. Perhaps sometimes other things are taking the place of God's closeness. It gives your life a sense of being fine when the presence of God may not really be near to your life. And so the warning is, beware of a false form of closeness to God. It can easily be desecrated. You know, may mga taong nagkiklaim, nag-aangkin ng malapit sila sa Diyos. And many times, they trivialize the presence of God. I remember attending a conference many years ago, and here and there, I hear people keep saying, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And one preacher dropped a pen, and then when he picked it up, he said, "Praise the Lord." And I felt it was so trivialized. You're talking here of the Lord. and they're reducing it to such trivial things. And yet there are people like that who think and who claim nearness to God, and yet they claim all this trivial thing. And it is a false closeness to God. Beware of that. Alam niyo, kapag merong bagong drug na tinetest, ang ginagawa niyan ay kumukuha ng mga volunteers. But among the volunteers, say 100 volunteers who will take the drugs for a particular medical condition. Among the volunteers, a number of them will be given a harmless substance, and they will be they will think they're taking the drug, but actually they're not. And that is called placebo. Now, it is possible, and it has been observed sometimes, that those who take the placebo demonstrate some betterment and improvement of their health, but it's not because of the drugs. It's just psychological. But after a while, the condition comes back. Now, some Christians satisfy themselves with placebo, and they experience some kind of nearness to God because they like the song, and the song makes them so close to God. Or they feel so close to God because of things that turn out to be just placebo and not a real nearness to God. Do you know what it takes to be really near to God? It takes a cost. And this was impressed upon the Israelites in quite a tragic fashion. When the tabernacle had its inaugural service, when it was put up, there was the case of the two sons of Aaron who thought that they could trivialize their being near to God. And that's Nadab and Abihu. And you know what happened to them? It's recorded in Leviticus 10. The fire of the Lord consumed them. And when Aaron was confronted by God, these were the words. Listen very carefully. Leviticus 10 and verse 3. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. By those who come near me, you don't trivialize God. You don't play with God like picking up a pen and say you're close to God. You really want to be near God, it takes a cost. If it were not the New Testament with Christ as our mediator, trying to be near to God can be a tragic business, for the fire of the Lord can just consume us. Well, glory to God, we are now mediated by Christ. And those trivializing things we do that in the Old Testament could have consumed us with the fire of the Lord, we do not experience that anymore. But it is still the same seriousness with which God holds His presence. You don't play with it. You don't trivialize it. You don't make a game out of it. Yet one encouragement we must bear in mind is this. God wants to be near His people in Christ. He is not a distant deity who would prefer to have a wall between Him and His people. At any condition we're in, we can have a true closeness to God if we but take how serious it is, and yet what a great privilege it is to be close to God. This is what we continue to learn from the diaries of David Brainerd. David Brainerd never wanted those diaries published. Jonathan Edwards, who cared for him because he was the fiancé of one of his daughters, decided that this would profit generations to come. And Jonathan Edwards was right. He had those diaries published, and whenever we read the diaries of David Brainerd and his private thoughts, there was the man who knew the filthiness of his condition, and yet one who knew what it was to be close to God, knew what it was to talk to God like his father, And it is when you read such words of a man who knew what closeness to God, you challenge yourself. Do I know God this way? Am I near God in this way? Or is it possible that I am being estranged from my God and here I am having the prerogative, having the privilege, and yet not pursuing it? Well, tonight, let us challenge ourselves. Let us not be satisfied simply with the objective relationship that is there we have with God. Rather, let us have that nearness that we can say before God, I draw near to you. And may indeed we know more of this nearness. It was something that Asaph experienced even as he struggled with his doubts. And you and I, even in our weakness, may pursue nearness to God. There is no greater nearness than that. For all that they want, they can be near Pacquiao, for all I care. Or be near Barack Obama, they can have that for all I care. As long as I know something of this nearness to God. And that nearness is again to be experienced in Christ. That's why one thing that we should continue renewing is our sense of the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our last hymn. Our last hymn, Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. And the prayer that we all must offer is, O knit my thankful heart to thee and reign without a rival there. May this be our prayer and may this be our pursuit, that of being able to draw near to our God. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos, kay laking pagpapala ang masabing kaming mga mananampalataya ay malapit sa Diyos. At tulungan mo, Panginoon, na mapahalagahan namin ito, at sa pagpapahalaga namin ay gamitin namin ang katotohanan ito. At ang paggamit ng katotohanan ito ay unang nararanasan sa pagtawag namin sa iyo na aming tunay na Ama. Ikaw ang aming tatay, ikaw ang aming minamahal na siyang kumakalinga sa amin. At kung may mga pagkakataon, Panginoon, na kami nakakalimot na makiugnayan sa iyo bilang aming Ama, patawarin mo kami. At kung nangyayari na ang pakikipag-ugnayan namin sa iyo ay nawawala ang tunay na malapit na relasyon, naway panariwain namin muli ang relasyong ito na nang dahil kay Kristo ay laging nariyan at hindi nawawala maging sa panahon ng aming kahinaan. Kaya at nagpapasalamat kami sa katotohanan ito at naway patuloy na hamunin kami na panghawakan ang aming relasyon sa aming Diyos. Mangusap ka rin sa mga narito na wala pang ganitong relasyon sa Diyos, sapagkat ito'y magkakamit lamang sa pamamagitan ng pananampalataya kay Kristo. Naway tawagin mo sila at ilapit ngayon sa iyong sarili sa pamamagitan ng pagsampalataya nila sa tanging Panginoon at tagapagligtas na si Kristo Jesus. Help us, Father, to realize that this position has its consequent privilege and responsibility. That's as we are near to God, we must draw near to God. And there will be times in the language of scriptures when you will withdraw your presence. And there will be times when, like the psalmist, we would cry out, Oh, be not far from us, O Lord. And so we ask, Lord, that we would take seriously the potential present in our being near to you, that it can fluctuate so that an estrangement develops between us and our God. And when those periods come, we pray, Lord, for honesty. And help us, Lord, to exercise our responsibility to pursue nearness to you. And when we pursue nearness to you, we realize that there are many ways of desecrating it. There are ways of trivializing nearness to you. And that tragic incident of Nadab and Abihu reminds us that it is a serious thing to deal with the nearness of God.
It is a serious thing to be near to God. By those who come near me, you said, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. We cannot pretend to try to be near to you and not take seriously your holiness. We cannot pretend to try to be near to you and not desire your glory in the eyes of the people. And so we ask, Lord, that we take this seriously, that we would truly pursue nearness to you. And we thank you that that nearness is not by putting afire our feelings or moods. That nearness is something that is ours to enjoy in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask, Lord, that we may renew once again that love of Christ to us, and there be able to say with the psalmist that in your presence is fullness of joy. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.